Good afternoon. I'm trying to be on time these days. Good afternoon. We'll start off with a statement from the Secretary General concerning the situation in Burkina Faso. The Secretary General is following with great concern the deteriorating security situation in Burkina Faso. He calls on all parties to end the use of violence, exercise calm and restraint, and to use a dialogue to resolve all outstanding issues. The Secretary General is saddened over the loss of life resulting from recent events. He has requested his special representative for West Africa, Mohamed Imchambas, to visit Burkina Faso tomorrow and welcomes that this mission will be undertaken jointly with the African Union and ECOWAS. That statement is now available online. The Secretary General, as you will recall, is in Nairobi today. He launched the global media campaign to end female genital mutilation with The Guardian and the executive director of the UN Population Fund, Dr. Babatunde. He said that the media had a critical role in adding their voice to help end female genital mutilation in a generation. He paid tribute to the women and girls who fought against FGM and said they now need to be the norm rather than the exception. He said that ending female genital mutilation is part of the UN's unwavering campaign for the health, human rights, and empowerment of women and girls. Earlier, the Secretary General addressed the first Ministerial Experts Conference on Sustainable Transport in Africa, along with President Uhuru Kenyatta of Kenya. The Secretary General said that as the economies of Africa continue to grow, we have an opportunity to avoid the environmental, social, and economic impact of unsustainable transport. He called on the ministers present to come up with a strong, forward-looking, and concrete sustainable transport roadmap for Africa. Also on Secretary General's travel, he will arrive in Copenhagen, Denmark on Saturday, November 1st. On Sunday, the Secretary General will participate in the launch of the synthesis report of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, otherwise known as the IPCC. The Secretary General is also scheduled to meet with the Danish Prime Minister and other senior Danish government officials. He will also speak at the opening session of the Copenhagen Energy Security Dialogues. The Secretary General will then travel on to Vienna, Austria, where on Monday he will address the second UN conference on landlocked and developing countries. He will also meet with Conchita Wurst, winner of the 2014 Eurovision Song Contest. And on Tuesday, the Secretary General will speak on the second UN Industrial Development Organization, otherwise known as UNIDO, Forum on Inclusive and Sustainable Industrial Development. He will also meet with Lamberto Zegner, the OSCE Secretary General, and Thomas Greminger, the chairperson of the OSCE Permanent Council, before speaking at a meeting of the Council. While in Vienna, he will also hold talks with the Austrian Foreign Minister, Sebastian Kurz, as well as Neven Mimica, the European Commissioner for International Cooperation. And we expect to have the Secretary General back in the office here on Wednesday. On our regular Ebola update, the World Bank today announced an additional $100 million funding in its Ebola crisis response to speed up deployment of foreign health workers to the three worst affected countries in West Africa. Current estimates by the United Nations indicate that about 5,000 international medical and support personnel are needed in the three countries over the coming months to respond to the outbreak, including 700 to 1,000 foreign health workers to treat patients in Ebola treatment centers. The World Bank's additional financing will help set up a coordination hub in close cooperation with the three countries, the World Health Organization, as well as the UN Mission for Emergency Ebola Response, to recruit, train, and deploy qualified foreign health workers. As for the number of cases, the latest figures from the WHO report a total of 13,703 cases and 4,922 deaths. The most intense transmission continues to occur in the Montserrado area region that includes the Liberian capital, Monrovia, but the World Health Organization stresses that the capacity to capture a true picture of the situation in the country remains hamstrung by the underreporting of cases. And a full situation report is available on WHO's website. Also, want to flag more for use here and on the web that our colleagues at the Dag Hammarskjöld Library have launched an online Ebola research guide. The Quick Start Research Guide brings together key information sources with a focus on policy and political issues around the epidemic. And Dr. David Nabarro, the UN Systems Coordinator for Ebola, will be my guest here tomorrow, Friday, at noon. Here, just a few steps away, the Security Council held a meeting this morning on Syria, including Resolution 2139 concerning humanitarian access to that country. Speaking by video conference from Geneva, Kyung-Hwa Kang, the Deputy Emergency Relief Coordinator, said that armed violence continues to escalate in Syria and that the humanitarian situation continues to deteriorate. She said that 24% of hospitals in the country were deemed to be not functioning, while medical personnel have suffered personally from attacks. Ms. Kang said in the past months, more than 3.9 million people had received food aid and hundreds of thousands had received other assistance. Cross-border assistance has allowed the UN and its partners to reach more people in need. And she added that humanitarian access to civilian areas controlled by Daesh continues to be difficult. Stéphane de Mistura, the special envoy for Syria, spoke to the council, speaking to the council members in close consultations as we speak. He's expected to speak to you either at the stakeout, in which case I will tell you, or we'll bring him here, depending on the timing. Nikolai Mladenov, the Secretary General's special representative for Iraq, welcomed the recent liberation of the towns of Jurf al-Sakr and Zumar from Daesh and other associated armed groups. He said that Iraqi citizens in many other towns and villages are still fighting to defend their homes and neighborhoods from the control of terrorists. The people of Dulhuya and elsewhere have heroically resisted Daesh for months and should receive immediate support. Mr. Mladenov said that military operations reinforced by international and Iraqi air support must be conducted with the utmost care to avoid civilian casualties and with full respect with fundamental human rights principles. He urged the government to investigate and hold accountable those who may have committed human rights violations. And a number of you have been asking me regularly on the issue of reconstruction in Gaza and the mechanism in Gaza. Secretary General is encouraged so far by today's first sales of construction material for shelter rehabilitation to individual beneficiaries in Gaza under the framework of the Gaza Reconstruction Mechanism, led by the Palestinian Government of National Consensus. In addition, the entry today of cement, seven trucks of iron bars, and many trucks of aggregate construction material into Gaza is a further positive development. What is needed now is to continue to scale up the entry and sales of construction material in order to expedite much-needed reconstruction for Gaza before the onset of winter. We continue to count on the cooperation of all parties concerned to realize in good faith the implementation of the mechanism at the scale required. It is now all the more important for donors to honor their pledges at the Cairo conference in order to commence with much-needed infrastructure projects, including 106,000 shelters in need of repair now that the mechanism has started to deliver construction material to Gaza. From South Sudan, our colleagues in the UN mission there report that since yesterday, one child from the mission's protection site in Benchu in Unity State was killed by a stray bullet as a result of the heavy clashes between the Sudan People's Liberation Army and opposition forces. Six displaced civilians have also been wounded by stray bullets and are receiving medical treatment inside the protection sites. Meanwhile, the UN mission says that fighting continued today in Benchu and Rubkona, with clashes again reported in close proximity to unmissed protection compounds. The mission is protecting nearly 50,000 people in its Benchu camp. And our humanitarian colleagues in the Democratic Republic of the Congo issued a new report today saying that despite a tenfold increase in the number of displaced people since late 2011, Katanga province remains largely off the radar of the international community. A spiral of violence caused largely by the attacks by Maimai armed groups since late 2011 has forced more than 580,000 people from their homes in Katanga, leaving a bleak future for the province. Donors have given large sums to enable aid organizations to deliver aid to those in need, but now more funding is needed to cover remaining needs, including for some 300,000 returnees who want to pick up their pieces of their lives and return home. As we've been mentioning, the Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs, Valerie Amos, is in China. She arrived in Beijing today. where she met with government representatives to discuss ways of strengthening emergency preparedness and response. Among the officials she met was the administrator of China's Earthquakes Administration, Mr. Chen Jianmin, and she also met with students at the Communications University of China. Also, the Secretary General Special Representative for Disaster Risk Reduction, Margarita Wallström, is in Istanbul, Turkey, to attend the first meeting of the Safe Schools Leaders. Children and teachers are killed when schools collapse due to natural calamities and disasters, and these deaths account for a significant proportion of total disaster mortality. And lastly, an appointment today. Secretary General has appointed Bettina Tucci-Bartisiotas, born in Uruguay and a United States national, as Controller and Assistant Secretary General for Program Planning, Budget, and Accounts in the Department of Management. She will succeed Ms. Maria Eugenia Cesar, who, as you know, was appointed the Associate Administrator of UNDP. Ms. Bartisiotas has most recently served as Director of Budget and Finance and Chief Financial Officer at the IAEA in Vienna, and she brings with her a wealth of senior-level international experience in program planning, budgeting, and financial management. More information is in my office, and we welcome her to the Secretariat. Mr. Abadi, then Mr. Lee.
Thank you, Stefan. Yesterday, as you know, the Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, Mr. Jeffrey Feltman, acknowledged before the Council that recent heightened tensions over the unilateral actions, provocations, and access restrictions at holy sites in Jerusalem are contributing to a volatile situation. And he also underscored the criticality of immediately diffusing the escalating tension in East Jerusalem without delay. This, the Secretary General believed that in the absence of immediately diffusing tension in the area, that this situation might lead to threat to regional peace.
Well, I think, you know, we're not going to speculate on where things may lead, but we're obviously, I think, as Mr. Feltman said, and, you know, as the Secretary General believes, that all sides need to do everything they can not to further an already tense situation. Calm must be effectively restored, and the parties must find a way back to the negotiating table in order to address the root causes of the conflict. So obviously, I think we're seeing a very tense situation in Jerusalem, and I think we're very concerned by the recent violence. Mr. Lee.
Sure. Thanks a lot. I want to ask, I guess, one follow-up on the comptroller and then something about Darfur. On the comptroller, thanks for confirming it. I wanted to ask what I tried to ask the other day, which is that a WikiLeaks cable when Ms. Bartisiotas was at the IAEA made it clear that the U.S. was lobbying for her to get a similar financial post there. So can you just, I guess, give some answer? Did in this case, as I'm sure happened, as I would ask about other cases, did the U.S. mission play any role in the selection of Ms. Bartisiotas as comptroller of the U.N.?
No, the recruitment process is over. I'm not going to go into what has been said or not said in WikiLeaks, and we're very happy to have her on board.
And could I ask on just following up on the executive summary and statement you made yesterday? Mm-hmm. One is just a question for a response, but it seems like this in the description, even in the executive summary of Kushina, it says that the UN UNAMID did not convey to New York threats by the government to attack, and also that a panel of experts sanctions member was on the thing. So what I wanted to know is I guess, what can you say about that? How many is this review going to be extended to other missions to find out if there are other threats that are made that aren't conveyed? And the reason I'm asking is because there remains outstanding as to South Sudan the idea of whether Peter Gadet said, right, "I'm going to shoot down the helicopter." Right. Has this been resolved after these many months?
I think, you know, you have the statement that we issued yesterday. Obviously, one of the big findings of the mission was the challenge of reporting and not reporting well enough from the mission to headquarters, and the issue of the press lines, of not being forward-leaning enough on the press lines. What has happened before the release of the statement, and is that the Department of Peacekeeping Operations reminded all its missions of its duty to report, and to report clearly, and to report timely on incidents. So it's not as this review is going to be expanded to other missions, but we took the. Should we say the to speak in media terms the hook of the review to remind all missions of their duty and their responsibility to report.
But just one, and thanks for this. I just wanted, how does this relate to the Peter Gaudette thing? I think I emailed you at one point a purported transcript of Peter Gaudette saying we're going to shoot at the helicopter.
I don't have anything on that specific incident. I'm just speaking more broadly on reporting. Yes.
Do you know why the Secretary General is meeting, the reason why he's meeting Conchita Wurst in Vienna on Monday?
Well, I think, I think the Secretary General, when he travels, often meets with local cultural icons. And I think it's also a good way for him to reassert his support for LGBT people, and for them to ensure that they have enjoy the same human rights and protection that we all do. I think it's Conchita is a symbol in that sense, and I think it's good for the Secretary General for them to meet. Yes, sir, and then we'll go.
Thank you, Stefan. On the issue of Palestine, Sweden recently announced that they consider Palestine as a state. Mm-hmm. Is there any reaction to this from the Secretary General? What does he think about this growing tendency of recognition?
Well, the issue of recognition of one state to another is an issue that is within the purview of member states themselves. The Secretary General is, of course, very much aware of Sweden's decision, but again, it's a decision made by member states. It's not one that he will comment on.
Thank you, Stefan. Just do you have any sense around what time we can see Mr. Demirciura?
My ever-active and observant office is monitoring things. Is either he will show up here from this door, or I will tell you, and you can all go to the stakeout. But from what I understand, they're wrapping up their discussions inside. Yes, ma'am.
The $100 million new funding from the World Bank. Now, is this going towards the $998 million funding, Ebola funding appeal? And if so, what is the new balance?
No, my understanding is that it is not being counted on it. But as you know, we've unfortunately been somewhat numbers challenged here. But in an effort to bring some clarity to the numbers, we had requested $988 million. We have funding of $507 million, which is 51.4%. The SG's trust fund, the multi-donor trust fund, which is more the for the Secretary General to use as required, has $59.7 million in commitments from Australia, Canada, Chile, Colombia, Estonia, Finland, New Zealand, Romania, the UK, and Venezuela. And we have a further $56.3 million in pledges. Pledges are checks are in the mail and waiting for the checks to clear. And those come from Chile, China, Denmark, Germany, India, Kazakhstan, Republic of Korea, Norway, and Sweden. So that's a total of $116 million either committed or pledged. Evelyn, you've been waiting patiently.
Meanwhile, the rebels have seized the oil hub. Do you have any information that he's talking in real time?
No, I mean, what we're seeing on the ground right now is continued violence around UN compounds, which, I mean, obviously puts UN peacekeepers and staff members at risk, but more dramatically puts the civilians who have sought shelter in our compounds at grave risk. And we've seen already one child today, one child yesterday was killed by a stray bullet.
Sorry about that. You have to remind me.
That's okay. No.
Did you the mic?
Okay, no problem. Mr. Abadi and then Matthew.
Thank you, Stefan. Yesterday, you indicated that both the Secretary General and the Deputy Secretary General are traveling abroad, away from headquarters. Who is in charge of the House in the meantime?
Well, the Secretary General remains in charge wherever he is, as he's got his mobile phone and a staff with him. But here at headquarters, the Chef de Cabinet. Mr. Lee.
I wanted to ask about, Philippines and also DRC, but the Philippines has confirmed that it will impose a 21-day quarantine on its peacekeepers returning from Liberia. And I wanted to know, I've heard the general statement from the UN. What is the UN's, what do they think of were the peacekeepers sufficiently in contact with people with Ebola to justify a 21-day quarantine? And given that they were serving the UN, is there any statement that this may be going too far?
No, I mean, I think I can't speak to the granularity of where each peacekeeper served, and obviously some may have come in contact more than others. The Ministry of Defense in the Philippines has taken the decision that it's taken. I'm not going to comment on it.
And I wanted on the DRC, since there's the mission there and a lot of Mr. Jinnett and everything else, there's the government there has said that it's considering seeking bids to lease out 640,000 square kilometers, the size of France, a quarter of the country, arable land for agricultural development. And I know that the UN system, FAO, and IFAD have had concerns about some people call it land grabs, but basically foreign investment. What do they think about this? And is the UN going to play any role in making sure that small farmers aren't pushed off?
I think you're right in stating the position of the UN system's concern of that. I will see. I will follow up on these particular reports.
Okay.
Ms. Leopold.
Right. Now I have the mic. In Liberia, the peacekeepers, if some of them or large groups of them are being quarantined, since they're the only functioning unit that's not in a hospital, but providing air support and ground support to the whole government. How will that work? Did Ambassador Power on her return? Is she going to be quarantined?
Well, I think Ambassador, you will have to ask the U.S. Government as to what will happen.
Sorry, I'm being facetious.
I know. Just to be clear, my understanding from the press reports is that these peacekeepers are going to be quarantined upon return. There is no quarantine of peacekeepers in Liberia in any peacekeeping operation. Thank you all, and you should probably make your way to the stakeout because Mr. Di Mistura should be there shortly.